Welcome to Voice of the Public. I'm your host, Edmundo Resendez. It's a special Voice of the Public featuring a radio town hall meeting with U.S. Senator Martin Heinrich. He will share his thoughts on the election and other issues that concern you. Plus, we'll ask the senator about rumors with his political career. Some have him running for New Mexico governor, while another rumor has him running for president in 2020. What does Senator Heinrich say? We'll ask him. Call in at 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212, or join us on social media with your questions or comments. Voice of the Public with U.S. Senator Martin Heinrich on 90.7 FM and KRWG.org. More after the news. Welcome to a special Voice of the Public. I'm Edmundo Resendez. U.S. Senator Martin Heinrich is a U.S. Senator from New Mexico. Elected in 2012, Heinrich serves on the Senate Energy and Natural Resources, the Armed Services, Intelligence, and Joint Economic Committees. This week, Senator Heinrich was selected to serve as a ranking member of the U.S. Joint Economic Committee in the 115th Congress. Earlier today, Senator Heinrich participated in a hearing entitled The Economic Outlook. Senator Heinrich questioned U.S. Federal Reserve Chairwoman Janet Yellen on the state of the economic recovery and the Fed's plan for the upcoming year. Senator Heinrich, welcome to Voice of the Public. Welcome to KRWG. And I think that seems like a great place to start the conversation. What did you hear from Janet Yellen regarding the economic outlook for the upcoming year?
Well, first, I just want to say I'm really glad to be able to join all your listeners today. I know people from all across southern New Mexico listen to this program, and it's great to be with all of them. It's an honor to get appointed to the position of being the ranking member on the Joint Economic Committee, and one of the great opportunities that it affords is to be able to hear directly and personally from people who are pulling the levers that really steer our economy, and certainly the Fed is one of those really critical roles that has a huge impact on interest rates and a lot of the macro level issues with the economy. I suspect that the economy as a whole is growing fast enough now. And obviously, Chair Yellen is very careful about how she couches her words. But it is growing fast enough now that we have interest rate raises ahead. And the scale of those will probably, be very commensurate with the kind of growth that we see. There's been good job numbers in recent months. A lot of what I spent my time talking to Chair Yellen about, though, is the disconnect between the macro-level economics and individual New Mexicans and individuals across the country who feel like they've been left behind by this economic recovery. And it is that disparity that I think really drives a lot of the challenges that we see today. Most New Mexicans don't measure the economy by whether or not the Dow Jones is going up. They measure their own economic fortunes by whether or not they've had a raise this year or in the last 3 years, for that matter, whether they're going to be able to send their kids to college without taking out so much debt that it becomes unmanageable. And how are they going to retire? So it was sort of reconnecting to those measures of the economy and how that plays into her decision making and what opportunities we have on the legislative side to address those issues that I really spent much of my time focused on in the hearing today with Chair Yellen.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. You can also join us on the social media desk where Simon Thompson is standing by ready to hear your questions or comments for today's special guest, Senator Martin Heinrich. Senator Heinrich, I'm going to give you an opportunity to deliver some good news for southern New Mexico. This just came across our wire right here at KRWG, and I'll give you an opportunity to deliver that news.
Well, it's great to be able to deliver this news directly to southern New Mexico. One of our real economic strong suits in southern New Mexico is the synergy that exists between the tech world, between the NASA facility there, White Sands Missile Range, as well as Holloman Air Force Base, and all of the activity that then happens in the regional area out of Fort Bliss. And much of my time on the Armed Services Committee is spent focused on that synergy as well. And one of the projects we've been working on for a good long while now is to try to help the Air Force with the backlog, the sort of shortage in fighter pilots that they have, by focusing on getting some F-16s into Holloman Air Force Base on top of the ones that are already there to do additional training. And so we got news today that there are 42 additional F-16s, that's two full squadrons, one of 24 and one of 18, that are going to be moving to Holloman Air Force Base. You know, every one of these aircraft isn't just a pilot and an airplane. It represents literally many, many jobs. It's about 345 jobs or a squadron, so almost 700 jobs total that will result from this. And so it's a huge injection of economic activity into the southern part of the state. And it spills over beyond Alamogordo, beyond Otero County into Lincoln County and Doñana County and the entire southern part of the state. So this is really great news for southern New Mexico. It's something that myself and Congressman Pierce and Senator Udall all worked together on very closely. And it was really a focus of my efforts on the Armed Services Committee over the course of the last few months, and worked closely with the Alamogordo Committee of 50 to make this happen. And you know, I just want to say we have such a great community in the southern part of the state. The way they step up and make the Air Force feel welcome and know that it's going to be a partnership, that made all the difference in this case.
Senator Heinrich, where were you last Tuesday on Election Day? And what was your reaction to the election results, both the presidential and Senate races?
Well, it was a challenging evening. It felt a little schizophrenic because I was in New Mexico. I was actually at the state party, the state Democratic Party event in Albuquerque. I had just come off a number of days of traveling the state with candidates around in other parts of the state. I had been down in Doñana County and you know, out knocking on doors with so Rudy Martinez and Nathan Small and some other folks, Joanne Ferrari. And, you know, the difference between how New Mexico's elections looked on election night and how things looked nationally could not have been more striking. I was obviously hoping to be in the majority, not because I don't enjoy working across the aisle with my colleagues in the U.S. Senate, but because, you know, being able to set the agenda and be the chair as opposed to the ranking member of some of these committees or subcommittees gives you an opportunity to really steer things in the direction that you hope for your state. But it is what it is, and we have to take the opportunities that we have. And one of the things that I've learned in this job is that it is fundamental to the nature of it that sometimes you're going to be in the majority and sometimes you're not. And the opportunities that present themselves will change based on that, but there are always opportunities to deliver for your constituents in your state, and I just try to stay focused on that.
Perfect. Let us go to a call right now who is standing by, Jeff, at 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212, or you can also join us on social media with your questions or comments. Simon Thompson is standing by, ready to hear from you. Right now, good afternoon, Jeff, and welcome to Voice of the Public with Senator Heinrich.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a lifelong Democrat, and I'm proud to be in a state that has two Democratic senators. And although I'm disappointed by the election results, I can accept them. As you said, it is what it is. But I have a hard time accepting the fact that the Senate never voted on the Merrick Garland nomination. And I want to know, from your perspective, how can this lack of vote be justified? It seems like Republicans are really interested in following the Constitution when it concerns the Second Amendment, but not when it concerns voting on Supreme Court nominations. So what's your thoughts on this particular situation?
Thank you, Jeff.
Well, I don't think you can justify the way that in any stretch of the imagination, the treatment that Merrick Garland received from the leadership of the Republican Party in the U.S. Senate. He is an incredibly qualified judge, and he was treated disrespectfully and in a way that is completely incongruous with hundreds of years of history in this country. And I think it will it's going to do lasting damage to the bench in this country. I don't know exactly where we go from here. We're still having discussions within our caucus about where we go from here in the Supreme Court. But I think it damages future the ability to make sure that we meet our constitutional requirements. This Supreme Court pick belonged to the president who was in place when that opening came up, and that was President Obama. And to see it treated so callously and so politically is very frustrating for me, and I fear the lasting damage to the courts as a result.
EW is standing by at 646-2212, 575-646-2212. Our guest today on Voice of the Public is Senator Martin Heinrich. EW, welcome, and you're on with the senator. If you want to lower down your radio and just talk to us.
Yes, Senator Heinrich, my name's E.W. Hawkins. If I sound a little odd, I fall under the heading of the People with Disabilities Act. So if you bear with me, I appreciate it.
Not at all, E.W. Go right ahead.
I'm calling in in regards to my son. He's going to be joining the Navy. And I'm a little worried about him with President-elect policies with his addition to the Pacific, pivot to the Pacific Rim with the 70 additional naval ships he was talking about. And then also, I contacted your office with the lady that helps me, Linda, and spoke with Kristen Sullivan about a month or so ago, a little more than a
yeah,
month.
Yeah, you bet.
And it's in regards to the state of New Mexico owing me quite a bit of money from a quarter of a century past now that I've yet to receive.
EW, I will follow up with Kristen to find out what she has been able to find out in your case. And obviously we do many of those, and sometimes they involve the state of New Mexico as well. And so I will do that follow-up personally. But in regards to your son, one, please thank him for his willingness to serve this country. My father served in the Navy. So did my sister. We have a incredibly proud history in the state of New Mexico of volunteerism that goes back a very long time. And when you look at the numbers, nobody really compares to New Mexico when it comes to volunteerism in our armed services. I take the responsibility of how we treat those members of our armed services, and when they become veterans, how we treat them very, very seriously. And I think one of the fundamental challenges that we're going to have going forward with somebody who, to put it lightly, took a very sort of cowboy shoot from the hip sort of approach to a number of issues is going to be making sure that our military is used as judiciously as possible and where necessary and not where unnecessary. We have people serving all over the world in real harm's way, and I just returned from a trip a couple of months ago to the Horn of Africa in Djibouti, which is right next to, a few miles from Somalia. Spent time in Erbil and Baghdad in Iraq, spent time in Kuwait, and we are still, dealing with the aftermath of those deployments from many, many years ago. And I work every day with veterans who were injured in those deployments as well, and making sure that they get the services they need through the VA. There are going to be a number of us on both sides of the aisle, I suspect, who are going to work very hard to hold this president accountable when it comes to life and death decisions of military deployments. You've already seen Senator John McCain, who, you know, sometimes I agree with, sometimes I don't, but I always enjoy serving with, on the Armed Services Committee, come out and criticize this president for his seeming willingness to work more closely with the Russians at a time when Vladimir Putin is very clearly abusing his authority around the world and having a very deleterious impact on our national security and the national security of other nations. We're going to pull together and put America first, and that means we're going to hold the president accountable moving forward.
Senator Heinrich, we have a social media desk where Simon Thompson has been standing by, taking lots of social media questions. So let's go to Simon Thompson. Simon, good afternoon. You're on with the senator.
Good afternoon. We have some listeners' questions on immigration. First is from Michelle in Las Cruces. She asks over Facebook, how much of a threat do you think Trump's claims of mass deportation of immigrants is to southern New Mexico? Also, what can be done to protect our DACA students here at NMSU and DACC?
Well, this is an issue we are spending a very large amount of time on right now. And we are going to work very hard to make sure that we send a very clear message to those folks who are in the DACA program, those dreamers, that we are continue to be on their side, that the values that we hold as New Mexicans have not changed. And this was going to be a battle. I mean, we don't know exactly what where the rhetoric meets the road with when it comes to this president. Some of the most concerning and vile rhetoric in this entire presidential campaign was in this area. And I think it's going to be incumbent upon all of us, especially those of us in leadership positions in the state of New Mexico, at the federal level, at the state level, in communities and municipalities, on city councils and county commissions, to speak as united as we possibly can, that we are not wavering from our values and that we believe dreamers are people who know only really know how to be Americans, and that they should have the path to citizenship that we have all advocated for a long time. So this is someplace where I am very much not in the same place as this president, and I intend to fight him. We will continue to work with him if he can, put resources into making our borders more secure in a reasonable way and in a way that respects fundamental human rights for all of us.
And another question related to immigration. Summer in Albuquerque asks over Facebook, what is your position on the contract between Cibola County Correctional Center and the Department of Homeland Security? Will you encourage the DHS to stop contracting with private prison companies?
Well, there's a couple of sort of intersecting issues here. One is that generally it is my view that detention facilities, particularly federal prisons, there are certain things that should be inherently governmental, and then there are certain things where it just makes sense to either privatize or contract. And we haven't always gotten those right over time. And certainly when it comes to federal facilities, prisons in particular, I think that's an inherently governmental issue. That said, I certainly understand there are a number of jobs at risk in Cibola County right now, and my job is not to second-guess the county commission. They're doing their best to keep people working in that part of the state. Our job is just to make sure that all of these facilities actually meet the requirements set at the federal level for how people are treated within them, and that is a job that we take very, very seriously. So That's kind of where I come out on that.
Senator Heinrich, Martin Heinrich, is our guest today on this special Voice of the Public. Good afternoon. I'm Edmundo Resendez, 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212, if you want to join in on the conversation. You can also join us on our social media desk, where Simon Thompson is standing by, ready to take your questions or comments. Senator Heinrich, let's address the rumor mill. You have been rumored to be running for New Mexico governor in 2018, and earlier this week, a prominent Democrat mentioned your name as a potential to run for president in 2020.
Well, I can assure you, Edmundo, that I have no intention of running for governor in 2018. Maybe some folks have me confused with my colleague, Senator Udall, who did say he was looking into that. Boy, if he did that, I would sure miss him here. But I can certainly understand with the challenges that New Mexico faces, the need for strong leadership at the state level. In addition, I have no exploratory committee and no intention of running for president in 2020. My intention is to run for re-election in 2018 and continue to serve the great state of New Mexico. One of the things that is really helpful about this job is that after it does take a while for you to figure out where the levers of power are and how to pull them. And each passing year, I get a little bit better at this job, and I would certainly be honored if I get the ability to serve New Mexicans in this job again. I did want to mention one other quick thing with regard to an earlier caller. I think it was EW. Mm-hmm. I do have a great Southern New Mexico office. Their number is 575-523-6561. If you have an issue, especially a federal issue, but not necessarily a federal issue, if you have issues with your VA benefits or Medicare or anything like that, including immigration cases, call my office or go onto my website at heinrich.senate.gov. We've got some really first-class staff who will help you with that.
What was that number again?
It's 575-523-6561. Once again, the website is heinrich.senate.gov. And then you can obviously connect with us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram.
All
and some of those social media sites as well.
Now, is it a compliment to be mentioned in rumors as a sitting U.S. Senator?
I started getting texts because I was cooking breakfast and not listening to the radio when Howard Dean mentioned my name as a potential candidate in 2020. And it's very gratifying. But I really love the challenge of serving the state of New Mexico. We are not like every place else. And, I get a chance to travel the world. I mentioned a recent trip to the Middle East and the Horn of Africa. I get a chance to travel around the country. Gosh, I am so proud of this state. And it is not anywhere USA. It is a truly unique state with a truly unique set of challenges. And it never gets old trying to come up with pragmatic solutions to those challenges. So I am very pleased to have the job I have, and that's where I'm going to continue to focus.
575-646-2212, 575-646-2212, or you can join us on social media on Facebook and Twitter. Carrie is standing by on our phone line. Carrie, welcome to Voice of the Public. You're on with Senator Heinrich.
Senator Heinrich, thank you so much for your service to the state, specifically on the Armed Services Committee. As a military spouse, I really appreciate all the work you do.
Thank you so much.
I have a quick question. I know it has a lot to do with all the rhetoric that the president-elect and his vice president has put out, but especially being on the Armed Services Committee, I am very concerned about the possible reinstatement of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the status of women in combat and transgender troops. What can you do, or can you reassure us? And because the state does a great job of taking care of those individuals, but at the federal level, I am really concerned that some of the great progress we've made in the military is going to get rolled back. So what can you tell me about that?
Thank you, Carrie.
I think, first off, we're not going backwards, and we have the best military in the world because we have such a breadth and diversity of people who are willing to pick up a rifle and put their life on the line on the behalf of the rest of us. So it was a battle to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It's one of the things I'm most proud of that I did in the House of Representatives. I can't imagine that. I think there are certain places where you're going to see a Republican Congress and potentially this president pick some fights. Boy, if that's the fight they want to pick, I think they're going to do very, very poorly. We're the best military in the world, and it is working because of how we utilize all of our citizens who are willing to volunteer. And so I would send a message of reassurance. I think we're going to do well on that front. I don't think it's a place that this president-elect is looking to pick a fight. There are some extremer elements within some of my colleagues who wouldn't mind, but overall, I think they're looking to turn that page and put this behind them.
Let us go to the next caller on the line. Kara, welcome to Voice of the Public. You're on with Senator Heinrich.
Good afternoon, Senator Heinrich. My question has to do with the Electoral College. Mr. Trump, as you know, has not released either his personal or his business tax returns, and this leaves the state electors unable to conduct appropriate due diligence. So neither we, the American people, nor the state electors have any idea who he owes money to, what foreign or financial institutions may have leverage over his businesses, or any other financial conflicts of interest. Do you believe that this information should be made available to the state electors?
Oh, I think the state electors should have access, and I think the public should have access to all the things we've historically expected of presidential candidates and of presidents-elect. I think you're going to see a lot of good journalism go into just what this president-elect represents financially, what some of those connections are. You're going to see oversight into those things moving forward, and all of that is appropriate. This is a president-elect that said he was going to drain the swamp. I'll believe that when I see it, and when he stops putting so many lobbyists into all of these transition positions. So I think it's one of those places where, unfortunately, we have been kept in the dark, but I don't believe that will necessarily last. There's not a job with a stronger microscope on it than President of the United States, and that's as it should be.
Senator Heinrich is our guest today on Voice of the Public, 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212. You can also join us on social media with your questions or comments. Angel is standing by on the line, ready to talk to you, Senator Heinrich. Good afternoon, Angel.
Thank you, guys. First, I have a comment or a statement and then a question. First, Senator Heinrich, I want to personally thank you for the work and all the energy and time and effort you put into kind of the proper protection of our public lands, especially down here in the Southwest and here in southern New Mexico. So, again, huge thank you for the Oregon Mount Desert Peaks National Monument and your recent introduction of legislation for the Wilderness Bill. So now my question, I am a father of two, and I feel that playing outside with my little girls is something that allows me to recharge and really build this relationship with my daughters. My question to you, sir, is how can we, the community of New Mexico, help you continue to champion and fight for the proper protection of our public lands, especially as we head into an administration that seems to not be too fond of the idea and the feeling of the wild and open West?
Well, I suspect if you spend as much time in a high rise in downtown Manhattan as the president-elect, you may not have a full appreciation of what we have out West. And our public lands are truly one of the great fruits of the kind of democracy that we've set up as a nation. When you think about other places in the world, nobody else has this. In Europe, if you want to go out and hunt and fish, you better be landed gentry, because it's gonna cost a fortune for you to do that. And usually it's the people who own the land who have that sort of access. In New Mexico, we have these great mountain ranges and public lakes and rivers that belong to all of us. That is one of the most uniquely American things that I can think of. And it's not going away because the public won't let it go away. Fortunately, in New Mexico, we've realized it can also be an incredible economic engine. And when you look around the West at the states that have done the best at really being good stewards of those federal public lands, they have been able to create an awful lot of jobs around them. And the state of New Mexico is no different. We have a huge portion of our economy that is tied up in tourism and recreation. Public lands recreation alone represents tens of thousands of jobs around the state. It also represents some of the best rural jobs, and we need to focus on rural jobs. So outfitter guides and other people who work in the backcountry, you know, those are some of the best paid positions in rural communities. And that keeps communities strong. So we're going to continue that work. Senator Udall and I, we're going to be keep pushing that wilderness bill forward. It is such a success story to see what has occurred with Oregon Mountains, Desert Peaks, the way the business community has embraced that with Monuments to Main Street events and with marketing. So many small businesses now using the monument as part of their marketing. Seeing national publications put Southern New Mexico on the map and say, you need to go there. You need to see what this new Oregon Mountains, Desert Peaks monument is all about. The Lonely Planet guidebook did that, as I think they said it was one of the best, top 10 best in the United States destinations. We saw Macias, the community of Macias, their tax revenue go up after the monument was created because people were coming to visit. We saw some conferences in the community that were specific to the designation of that monument. It's just been a great success story. And I continue to hope that we'll be able to find some more common ground there with this new administration once they realize what's at stake. These are things that every red-blooded American in the West relies on for their economic well-being, but as you say, too, for their sort of spiritual well-being. We all like to take our kids outside and enjoy these places together.
Senator Heinrich, let's talk border economy and creating jobs in southern New Mexico. What challenges does southern New Mexico face when it comes to economic development, and what advantages do we offer?
Well, southern New Mexico is really unique. It's got some things that are particularly strong and really represent the foundation. And I think the synergy between some of the space work that has gone on in southern New Mexico, from the spaceport to the White Sands Missile Range to the NASA facility, along with our military bases of Holloman and White Sands and Fort Bliss, that's a key piece of it. We also have this great location where so much of the goods and services from that come into the country and that leave the country on export all come through. And to have the Santa Teresa Port of Entry and all of the work that's going on there to capitalize on the bilateral trade relationship with Mexico, that's creating a lot of jobs in southern New Mexico. That's another strength. So we have some really special things in the southern part of the state. And one of the other unique things that I've been focused on is transmission. And that is related to the sort of renewable resources that are being developed so quickly in our country. And another thing where I think we're not going back, we've seen the creation of good jobs around wind and solar. And to move that energy, especially at the utility scale level and at the business level, to the places where the highest demand is, requires transmission. So there's things like rooftop solar, and I've had solar on my house since, I think 2004, 2005, something like that. And then there's the utility scale solar and wind farms that happen. I think we have about 800 megawatts, if you can imagine that, of wind steel going into the ground in New Mexico right now. But that's got to go someplace. We produce a lot more energy in New Mexico than we consume. And one of the advantages of southern New Mexico is it is a logical corridor for much of that transmission that creates construction jobs. And then the development of those wind and solar resources create construction jobs and maintenance jobs. And that is something we can do a better job of taking advantage of. You know, one line alone, the SunZia project represents between $1 and $2 billion of injection into the Southwest, into Arizona and New Mexico. There are other lines in the works right now. And then that's going to spill over into additional solar and wind generation in the state. So we need to be able to take advantage of these things and put people to work looking at the future of energy in this country. And no place does that better, I think, than Southern New Mexico.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. If you have a question for today for Senator Heinrich. And Senator Heinrich, what again was that number for your Las Cruces office? We had a request for
575-523-6561.
Okay. Let us go to our social media desk where Simon Thompson is standing by. Simon?
We have some questions from listeners on family planning and women's health. Valerie in Las Cruces asks over Facebook, will women's reproductive rights continue to be protected and affordable in New Mexico under Trump?
You know, first off, let me just say that I trust women to make their own healthcare decisions with their families and their doctors without the government interfering. And we're going to continue to fight for that as a fundamental value going forward. I think there will be serious challenges. There will be efforts made to erode access to healthcare. There will be other efforts that that are made, but we're going to do our best to fight to make sure that that does not happen. And we have a long history in the state of New Mexico of being successful in that fight. So I just know that we've been through this before, and I think we will continue to be able to maintain the ability to make sure that women make their own decisions about health care.
Another question over Facebook from a listener. What are some steps that could be taken to be proactive on creating paid maternity or paternity leave?
That is a very active conversation right now. It is something that I think is very important and that we're working at on at the federal level. It's also being looked at state and municipal levels around the country. It is not something that I think that you should expect the Republican leadership in the House and Senate to embrace, but that doesn't keep us from working on it now in the minority. You know, much of what we're able to accomplish occurs because we're able to work out the details and work with different constituencies to come up with something that is well-crafted, and then when the opportunity arises and we're in the majority to move forward with those projects. So just because we're in the minority right now does not mean we're not looking for ways to extend paid family leave.
You're listening to Voice of the Public on 90.7 FM and KRWG.org. Good afternoon. I'm Edmundo Resendez. With us is Senator Martin Heinrich, who is taking your questions and calls at 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Simon Thompson standing by on the social media desk, ready to take your questions or comments. Let us go to a call on the line. Jerry, you're on with Senator Heinrich.
Hey, Senator, how you doing?
Great. Thanks for joining us today, Jerry.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you.
What is your question, sir?
Well, I'm calling from Santa Teresa. I was asked to call in, and I know the senator was talking about the industrial.
I think I was just down there. It wasn't very many months ago, and you know, I think it's one of the bright spots in New Mexico for the kind of economic development that Edmundo was asking about before. It's, you know, from a federal perspective, I think one of the things that we have to do with these kinds of facilities is make sure that we actually have the infrastructure in place to really serve them well if we're going to maximize the kind of jobs that we need. And so we can do a better job of that. You know, it's one of the areas where I think we may actually have common ground with the incoming president. He says he wants to invest in infrastructure. Well, we need to make sure that we take that seriously when it comes to roads and rail and transmission. And the Santa Teresa Industrial Corridor is a place that needs more investment. I also think as a federal government, it's crazy that we don't keep that port of entry open longer hours. And I've worked closely with Dell and other companies to expand those hours, because the more that port of entry is open, the longer the hours are, the more economic activity goes on, and it directly benefits the state of New Mexico. So I think we need to take the maximum advantage of that port of entry and of the whole border industrial development complex that has grown up around it.
Mary is standing by right here on KRWG. Mary, good afternoon, and welcome to Voice of the Public. Mary. Okay, Mary got a little bit impatient and chose to hang up. Senator Heinrich, you know, you are on the Armed Services Committee. President-elect Donald Trump proposed increasing spending on defense as a candidate. Where does defense stand as far as immediate priorities for the United States? And how will you work to protect the vital missions at New Mexico's national labs and military installations?
Well, that's been a focus area for me as long as I've been in Washington. I started my own career at Air Force Research Labs as a recently graduated engineer. It was much of what caused me to settle down in New Mexico in the first place was the incredible work that we do as a state with regard to our multiple national labs, Los Alamos, Sandia, Air Force Research Labs, and then the great training facilities and test facilities we have like White Sands and Holloman and Kirtland Air Force Base. We have continued to fight for those things as New Mexicans, our federal delegation on both sides of the aisle in good years and in bad years. If we have an opportunity to see some kinder budget years moving forward, I think that would be a great thing for the state. But even when times are tough, we have always prioritized our national defense and the role that New Mexico plays in really providing many of the security services and the hard work that goes into having the best military in the world. So that's something I spend probably more time on in Washington, D.C. on the Armed Services Committee than just about anything else. It's sort of central to who we are as New Mexicans, and we will continue. And, you know, the news we had today about two additional squadrons of F-16s moving to Holloman Air Force Base is just one of the things that we've been able to accomplish in that focused area over the course of the year. And we'll continue that. I had a chance actually to be in southern New Mexico a couple of months ago and tour Alaska Structures, which, they were able to take advantage of language that I had worked on to make sure that we had energy-efficient structures in these bases around the world, that we were being smart about the way we use our energy resources in remote locations. Well, they're providing some of these amazing, highly efficient structures based on the kind of demand that we created through the Defense Authorization Act. And they're putting people to work, hundreds of people right there in Doñana County. Those are the kind of opportunities that we will continue to focus on and invest in as long as I have the opportunity to serve.
Mary, you are coming back. Thank you for coming back to us on Voice of the Public. You're on with the senator.
Thank you, Senator Heinrich. My question has
great to hear from you, Mary.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Likewise, thank you for taking our call. My question has to do with the electric grid. There's been concern with computer hacking by Russia during the elections, and we know how easy it is for the electric grid to potentially be hacked and to take the grid down for a day or a week or 2 weeks or longer. And so my question has to do with what is currently being done to secure the electric grid, especially considering that if we lose electricity, we no longer have heat or water.
That's a great question, and I think it's thank you for raising it. I'm actually working with a bipartisan group of senators on legislation to make sure that we have thought through those eventualities and that we have backup plans. And my own personal take on this is that we have to have sort of a dual approach. One is, what do you do if you have to go back to literally not having a smart grid kind of control over every small aspect of the grid, and then having the best and most modern grid in place to manage energy at any given moment? I spend a lot of time on the Intelligence Committee looking at the nature of some of these threats, looking at what the exposures are to them. And we have legislation that seeks to improve that situation. I will say, I think the more we begin to rely as a nation on distributed energy, energy that is created locally and consumed locally, the more we rely on microgrids and incorporate those into the broader grid, but have the microgrid there, especially on our military installations, but also in towns and cities as well. The more resilient we'll be under that kind of attack. A number of years ago when I was in the House, I literally passed the first piece of legislation that used the word microgrid in that legislation, and it got the military to start doing these demonstration projects, working through how we create a more resilient grid. They have now picked up that ball and run with it, and they are light years ahead of where they were back when I was in the House of Representatives, and we need to begin employing some of the things we have learned there within our private sector and in concert with our utilities as we move forward to make the most resilient grid that we possibly can.
Senator Heinrich, let us go to our social media desk, where Simon Thompson is standing by with one more question.
Joni Newcomer, New Mexico State University's sustainability manager. She asks, since climate change is one of the world's biggest concerns, what work are you doing with upper administration and the regents at NMSU and other groups on it?
Well, NMSU is a great example of a research university that is doing incredible work in their engineering department, in their agriculture departments, looking at ways to be more sustainable, and we support that work very strongly. I also do a lot of work on the Energy Committee, directly related to trying to meet our climate challenges head-on. I helped to negotiate a very I think groundbreaking deal at the end of last year that extended the incentives for both wind and solar instead of doing it just for a year like we had been doing, which is very bad for the industry and causes a lot of uncertainty. We were able to do a multi-year extension that phases down over time that really creates some certainty within the industry. And we've seen huge investments pour into those areas as a result of that certainty. And those, seeing that happen, has we are now beginning to produce electricity in the private sector that is out competing other sources on a levelized basis, on a head-to-head, apples-to-apples comparison. Renewable clean energy is becoming the cheapest source of energy as well, and those prices will continue to go down. You know, with solar, about every time you double your manufacturing capacity, you see about a 20% decrease in prices, and that has been true over the last 30 years. So we're going to continue to see wind and solar take up, and geothermal, which exists in southern New Mexico, pick up a bigger and bigger share of our electrical generation. We have to make that transition because of the climate pressures we're seeing that are so acute in New Mexico. And where I see that going over the next few years is a lot more work in the area of storage, which along with a number of other factors allows us to more effectively manage the grid as a whole as those resources go up and down, either through the day or based on, you know, where the wind is blowing and how hard it's blowing. We're making huge progress on that front. And you know, I'm going to do my best to make sure that the new administration doesn't roll that progress back.
Senator Heinrich, we're coming up on 5.5 minutes left in the show, so let's do some rapid-fire phone calls. Let us go to Peter, who has been patiently standing by. Peter, welcome to Voice of the Public.
Thank you. Thanks for being patient.
Hey, I wanted to ask you about this battle coming up over Medicare. Do you think the Democrats can stop Paul Ryan from destroying Medicare?
I do, and I got to tell you, like, Medicare is one of those things that oftentimes unites interesting portions of the political spectrum, both the left and the right. I survived the Tea Party wave of 2010 when I had many conservative constituents say, keep your hands off my Medicare, keep your government hands off my Medicare. I think it would be a huge mistake to try to either balance the budget on the back of Social Security and Medicare, or to shift resources currently going to our seniors, to pay for either a tax cut or some other scheme as part of a budget reconciliation package. I think if that's the direction that Paul Ryan wants to go, that he will frankly pay a political price for that.
All right, let us go to Carrie. Carrie, good afternoon, and welcome to Voice of the Public. You're on with Senator Heinrich.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I really appreciate it. Senator, this is Carrie Hamblin with the Las Cruces Green Chamber of Commerce, and I want to thank you for being such a great advocate of protecting our public land, and you've been such a wonderful champion. With President Obama using his authority with the Antiquities Act to designate the Oregon Mountains Desert Peaks, what do you see are possible challenges to remove that authority and or jeopardize that in order to continue protecting our public lands?
Thank you, Carrie.
Well, Carrie, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think the most the logical battle that we're going to have in this next Congress, and we are girding for it as we speak, is going to be an effort led by folks like Rob Bishop, who wants to transfer public lands either to the states or eventually into private hands, to repeal the Antiquities Act. And I will fight that vociferously. I mean, we will stand up against that at every opportunity. And, New Mexico has a unique history with the Antiquities Act. That is an act that presidents have used on both the Republican and Democratic parties to protect some really special areas, places like the Grand Canyon that everyone knows, but especially places in New Mexico. When you think about White Sands, when you think about Capulin cinder cone up in the northeastern part of the state, which is a monument that was created by President Wilson, a Bandelier National Monument. And it was actually a New Mexican who drafted that legislation because he saw what was going on with Bandelier and with Chaco and the looting that was going on. And he worked with a congressman named Lacey from Iowa, of all places, to pass that legislation. We saw Teddy Roosevelt use it to great ends. And as a result, we have these places like White Sands that not only does the National Park Service manage today, but has enormous visitor impact to the southern part of the state. And so we're going to fight to make sure we don't lose the Antiquities Act. His name, by the way, was Edgar Lee Hewitt, and he helped draft that for Congressman Lacey. And that is the tool that helped create the Rio Grande del Norte National Monument, the Oregon Mountains Peaks National Monument. And it was really the local communities that drove the demand for the creation of those national monuments. So we're ready for that fight. We know it's coming, and I just want to thank you for being there, too, because it'll be a lot easier to win with all the good folks in southern New Mexico who worked on those things having our back.
Senator Heinrich, I want to thank you very much for participating in today's Radio Town Hall meeting right here on KRWG.org and 90.7 FM.
It was great to be with you.
Senator Heinrich joined us today on Voice of the Public. Good afternoon. I'm Edmundo Resendez. Thank you for joining us on this Voice of the Public, a radio town hall meeting with Senator Martin Heinrich on 90.7 FM and KRWG.org. I'm your host, Edmundo Resendez. Fred Martino is content director Jacob Lockwood worked the phone lines today. Mark Johnson was our technical producer. Simon Thompson worked the social media desk. Thank you for joining us.